And welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on the program today. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So looking forward to that. Joe Rex Road, happy Wednesday morning to you. What's going on?
Not much. Got that mic unmuted.
You nailed it.
We made it.
It happened. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay, thanks. A little tired, but yeah, we have some TV issues here. So unfortunately, no SportsCenter, but we are in the clear. Charmed is good to go.
So Charmed is all over the
studio.
We are
all
right
set
now
to rock this hump day.
There we go.
A lot of Charmed going on in the studio. Let the record show that at some point in this show, we're going to have a voluntary college basketball segment that was my idea. I want the record to show it before we get into it. We're doing it today, and it's my gift to Rex Road here as we sit here in December. Actually going to talk some college basketball. Joe, your thoughts?
That's exciting. I'm one you... You brought it up yesterday, and I was almost like fell out of my chair. I didn't know what to do.
Big week.
I tried to say like 1,000 words in like 1 minute. Yes. Exciting. You're a hoop head.
Yeah. I can't get enough of it this time of year. Cannot get enough of it. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Joe, we begin with some news that, frankly, I don't know that I expected yesterday, but it's cool, and there's been a lot of reaction to it. Nick Saban has joined the Nashville Predators organization. He has purchased a minority stake in the Predators, along with Joe Agresti and Bill Haslam, announcing that yesterday. Coach Saban putting this quote out there on the Predators website and the statement, quote, "Although I am now retired as a coach, I still possess a competitive nature and a great passion for sports. Being involved in a sports team in Nashville has always been a goal. And the opportunity to partner in the Predators with a class act like Bill Haslam created the perfect scenario for us. Preds are a great organization with a fantastic brand, and we are excited to be part of the future success of the franchise." So that is the statement that Nick Saban has released as now a part of the Nashville Predators. Now, Joe, people have run with the, being a part of a team here in Nashville has always been a goal of mine. And it's like, well, there's a team right now that could probably use your help in the Tennessee Titans. So Titans fans had fun with that yesterday. But, Joe, your thoughts on Nick Saban buying a minority stake in the Nashville Predators and being now part owner?
I just feel bad for Joe Agresti, you know. It's like his big day. And it's like, oh, and also this other dude. They put their pictures right next to each other. That was nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, Saban, I mean, he came to – a lot of those playoff games, didn't he? Or, I mean, at least a few in 17.
He was at least at one. He may have been at a couple.
Okay.
But I know for sure he's one.
I've already been hyperbolic then. I thought he like really got on the bandwagon. I know Barkley came to one.
Yes.
I think Saban and Barkley may have been the same one. Was it just during the finals? Is that what
I
it was?
I believe that is correct.
Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, I don't know what it really means, and I do kind of agree with Kuharsky. It's like, you know, put out how much, you know, give us a little, you know, how much did he get? Is this just like, you know, like a sliver of a sliver so you can say Nick Saban, or is Saban really, is he really have some skin in the game now? You know what I mean? But we're not going to get that information.
No.
So, I mean, it's great for him, you know, to get something going. People, I guess, I don't know if this means people will stop asking him about coaching, but you know, it's another endeavor for him. You know, it's a little bit of attention for the Preds, and it's a chance for the Titans to be like, gee, man, like we're a football team in Nashville. What about us?
We don't really want you to be part owner, but maybe a coach would be good.
Actually, we do want you to be part owner, or all owner if you could, but probably don't have quite the funding for that yet.
Probably not. I mean,
could he coach them and own the Preds? Why not?
Why not? I mean, I think you could multitask that way. I mean, I will say the mental image in my head of like Nick Saban being really involved with this thing and like You know, what's going on the penalty kill? Why can't we get that figured out? Is awesome to me. So I hope that he's a little bit more hands-on. I do know that he came, I think, over the summer and spent time with Andrew Brunette and I think spoke at their development camp stuff. So he has been around the Predators, but now in an official capacity. Also, like, you know, how often is he going to be here? I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be overly often with all the other stuff that he does, but like now when college football wraps up here in the next month and a half, is he the stretch part of the season in the regular season, is Saban just going to be hanging out with his new hockey team?
No, he's got a car dealership to tend to. He's got that. But even, hey, in season, I mean, is Vanderbilt going to be great now from now on? Because we started having game days here regularly.
That's true.
So he won't even have to, you know, be in town. He can do a game day, check on the Preds, and check on his dealership trifecta in one weekend.
Yeah. Special to think about. I mean, you could see even more Nick Saban around here, which I know is always a special thing for you. It takes you back to your early days at Michigan State.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when I was terrified to ask a question.
He looks
PTSD
younger than
from
now.
That. Thanks. Yeah, he does. He does. So Gentry Estes wrote an interesting column in the Tennessean about, you know, like the Titans should try to, you know, try to see if he'd want to do anything with them, you know. And he was talking about how, you know, Gentry covered him at Alabama and he had this authority figure and, you know, no one wanted to disappoint him, which I agree. Obviously, worked at Alabama. I will say that, like, when he was with the Dolphins, it did not go well. In terms, like, there were people, it was like, do not look at Coach Saban, speak to Coach Saban when spoken to. So I'm just saying, like, there were some people at the Dolphins organization who thought he might have been wound a little tight, but that's also probably has something to do with the fact that he was like, oh crap, I don't have the best players every game that I play now, and we're 8-8.
Ryan O'Reilly better shape up now that Saban's around, you know. In O'Reilly's words, the one good year that he's had, he's got to shape up a little bit better now that Saban's around.
Actually, Ryan, I don't think you've had any good years.
Stanley Cup and a Conn Smythe, anybody can do that.
Are you going to listen to me? Or are you going to listen to these guys?
I need a PowerPoint presentation of like a 1-3-1 neutral zone trap that Saban wants to run out there. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy the game day. You know, he and Chris Feller do like a film thing, you know, on every game day. Why can't let's get that going with some hockey, you know?
Study some
the
film.
Old, I remember the left wing lock.
Yeah, exactly. But it is cool. It did generate a lot of attention yesterday on the Predators front, and like I have no idea in all seriousness how involved in, you know, the day-to-day stuff he's going to be. My guess is probably not much. You know, Bill Haslam is still the majority owner of all this. He's the one that is around day-to-day and doing all the stuff. But cool to have Saban a part of the franchise, and I'm sure that there will be some ways that the Predators utilize him as the new owner here. And who knows, Joe? I mean, maybe one day when our show keeps going as well as it is right now, that you and I can join forces alongside Saban and be minority stake owners in the Nashville Predators.
Ooh, there we go. The Vibin ownership group.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the Haslams, how many times has the Haslam family collectively cursed Nick Saban's name?
It's probably a lot.
Over time.
I thought about that.
Absolutely hate that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, I would imagine that Nick Saban has cost Bill Haslam at least a few sleepless nights. And here you go, partnering with him. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my gosh, Saban, what was his run against the Vols?
I mean, he won
15
straight.
The number?
Yeah.
He won 15 straight?
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. Sorry to bring that up.
Including like the first year when they really had no business winning, and then, you know, Mount Cody was in there. There's a few special ones in there mostly they just kicked Tennessee's butt, but there were a few special ones in there that did a nice job of ripping my heart out. That was fun.
I mean, Butch almost got him, man.
I know, which is kind of amazing.
In what, 15?
He's kind of laying the ground. Was he laying the groundwork, you think, at the time for Butch to be his future intern at that point? Maybe if I let this guy hang around, he'll go pick up my sandwich every now and then.
Does this mean Butch is going to be like a comms intern here coming up or something?
Well, that'd be the day I stop covering the Nashville Predators.
So, oh, come on, bygones.
Nope.
Butch would be fun to have around.
Hey, Butch is as far like Butch. I guess he's going to be the Arkansas State coach forever.
And guys, I think just, they made a bowl
he's
game.
Getting in a bowl game. Yeah,
they
he's
did.
Just gonna
they
be
did get in a bowl
around,
game.
Getting in a bowl game and coaching at Arkansas State forever.
I mean, I guess that's good.
I could think of a worse gig. I could think of something worse.
Where
yeah.
are the fans? There's no fans here. Where are they? Maybe my favorite moment for the entirety of the college football season is Butch Jones walking out of the tunnel and realizing no one's in the stands to watch his team. Where are the fans?
Yeah, that was pretty great. Let me just say, you know, Butch Jones is from, I believe, Big Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
I know of a certain Big Ten university that needs a head coach.
I agree.
He's been a coach up in the MAC, been a coach in the SEC. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I think he'd be a great hire.
Keep an eye on that one. He's probably about 111th on the list, but you know, we'll see. We'll see.
One texter says the Nick Saban bobblehead night will be epic. That'll be a good one. Get that Nick Saban bobblehead night at Bridgestone Arena. That could be sweet. I'm sure
Nick Saban
plans are already in motion.
Nick Saban slamming a beer for sure. Yeah, got to happen.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will switch gears and get into the Titans, including the performance of someone the last couple of weeks that I wonder if it makes the Titans rethink maybe one of their plans this offseason. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, an uptick in production the last couple of weeks on the Titans front from the running game and specifically from Tony Pollard. And we all know the Cleveland game, right? 161 yards on the ground on 25 carries, 2 touchdowns, kind of a breakout performance for him. Almost literally out of nowhere, right? Like the 3 games before his 161-yard performance, Joe, against Cleveland, he had 22 yards against Houston on 10 carries, 20 yards on 11 carries against Seattle, and 60 yards on 10 carries against Jacksonville. So there just wasn't a whole lot going on in the running game for the Titans up until that point. And then the last couple of weeks, it's his only 200-yard games of the year, 161 against Cleveland. He had 14 carries for 104 yards and another touchdown against San Francisco last week. So, back-to-back 100-yard performances for Tony Pollard. Pollard's yards per attempt on the season now, Joe, is actually up to 4.5, which is a better number than it was last year. Last year, he was at 4.2 yards per attempt. He ended up with 260 carries for 1,079 yards last year, 4.2 per attempt. He's at 847 right now, 4.5 per attempt. I think he's probably going to end up with fewer carries than he had a year ago. He's at 189 right now. But basically, out of nowhere, the Titans have been able to run the ball pretty effectively over the last couple of weeks. So, Joe, I guess number one, what do you make of, I guess, this sudden uptick in production specifically from Pollard? And my question for you is, if he keeps this up, you know, right around this level of play in the last 3 games here, and they're running for, you know, close to 100 yards a game out of him in the last 3 games here, does that at all change how you view him, how you view the running back position, if you're the Titans heading in the offseason, given the fact that we know there's already so many positions that they're going to have to work on this offseason?
I'm going to say probably not.
Nice.
On Pollard. Thank you. All due respect. So I'm looking at the free agent, projected free agents here coming up here. You've got, well, Breece Hall would be a big one, right?
Yep.
Javonte Williams, Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, and then you get into, like, you know, Tyler Allgeier, and who is a heck of a power running back. Then you have, obviously, you know, you've got Jeremiah Love, of course, but Nick Singleton of Penn State. You know, Justice Haynes was having a tremendous year for Michigan before he got hurt. The other, Catron Allen for Penn State too.
Yep.
Price, the other Notre Dame kid. I just feel like it's the time to move on. Pollard at 28 years old, I agree. He's at least good for him to this segment never even comes close to being thought of, right?
Yep.
If not for what he has done, and good for him. I mean, I do think, I guess some of it comes down to how you also view the other guys. Spears, do you want him as your third down back? I mean, I feel like you need to have new blood in there one way or the other. And I think you can upgrade. I think you can upgrade on Pollard in this free agency class. If you go after somebody, you have the cap space. It's not the top priority. It's down the list of priorities, but it's a more of a difference maker at that position. Means quite a bit to an NFL team. As much as it's devalued, great players at that position mean a lot. And I'm not saying the Titans can get someone like Saquon Barkley in his prime, but look what he did for the Eagles last year. You can't tell me that didn't change things for them dramatically on the way to winning it all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I guess the weird part is, I mean, it's been a long stretch of him basically doing nothing in the running game prior to this. I mean, basically from the Raiders game, which was on October the 12th, until the Cleveland game, there was almost nothing going on in the running game. I mean, this was his stretch, just purely carries and yards from October the 12th until the Cleveland game. He had 10 for 34 against the Raiders, 6 for 18 against the Patriots, 11 for 44 against the Colts, 10 for 56 against the Chargers, 10 for 22 against Houston, 11 for 20 Seattle, 10 for 60 against Jacksonville. And then all of a sudden, boom, 25 for 161 against Cleveland. Like, it's amazing how it was basically just nothing, 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 nothing. And then, boom, the last couple of weeks, they've been really effective running the ball. I mean, him specifically, he averaged 6.4 a carry against Cleveland and 7.4 a carry against San Francisco last week.
Yeah, so what does that mean? The offensive line obviously has, I just think, collectively kind of, I don't know, gelled together a little bit, or just had a couple of really good weeks. I mean, so some of the credit goes there, probably. But, yeah, when you have a huge explosive like he had against Cleveland, which kind of came out of nowhere, you know, that's obviously going to help everything. But, you know, good for him for hanging in there. I mean, he's a solid player. Now, Scott from Waverly is like, you know, draft the Love kid and get rid of Pollard. He's not consistent. I mean, if you want to draft the Love kid, you're going to
– it's going to have to be high.
Yeah, it's going to be high. Now, were the Titans going to get the first pick? Is it possible that then they're down somewhere that, you know, that would be reasonable? Yeah, but I think that Dane Brugler has him as the number 5 overall prospect.
He's going to get drafted in the top 10, I think. If not top 10, top 12.
I think so, too. Brugler's mock has him going 11 to the Vikings. It's just one of those years where, like, I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL. Good for the team that gets him. He's not so good that you should detach yourself from the huge problems you have at edge and receiver.
Can you imagine if they drafted Jeremiah Love and, like, Carnell Tate was still sitting there and that's what they did? I mean, this fan base would lose their mind.
It's like, he better be a slot receiver too, darn it.
Yeah, like I'm with you. Like, I still think, you know, good for Pollard. The totality of the season would tell me that you have to at least be worried that he's lost a step. And if he has already, if you're already worried about that, what's another year going to look like, right? So I think it would be wise for the Titans to try to upgrade this offseason at the running back spot. Whether that's in the draft, that's fine if it ends up going out that way. If you're going to draft a running back, I'd rather it be in, like, I don't know, the fourth or fifth round. I think the running back is a prime spot, Joe, where all this cap space they're going to have and all this money that's going to be available to them, I think that would be a spot where you need to use it, because we've seen some pretty impactful free agent running backs over the last couple of years. And I don't know that, you know, maybe Breece Hall, his next stop, he's, you know, an electric player. He's really good. Unfortunately for him, he's played for the Jets, and There's just not a whole lot going on in that organization. But to me, with all the money that they're going to have available to them to spend, running back is a place where it makes some sense to spend some of that money and then focus your draft capital on the places that we always talk about focusing draft capital on.
Exactly. And this franchise does have some history. Well, look, Pollard was a good pickup. I mean, yeah, of course, everybody's like, Derrick Henry. And for Pollard, I mean, I think I actually wrote that in The Athletic. Oh, my God, they just swapped out, you know, Derrick Henry for Pollard. He's been good. DeMarco Murray was past his greatest point in the NFL when he led the league in rushing with the Cowboys. But that was a pretty good pickup for John Robinson. I agree. It's what you do. And I hate the discourse around the running back position in a lot of ways. I think some people are like, well, it's a passing league. Yeah, man. A big-time running back can mean so much to you in this league. And I hated some of the discourse around Derrick Henry. Like, there were actually idiots in this town who thought they shouldn't have extended him after what he was doing. My God, imagine if they didn't do that. But he's also a unicorn, and this is the position where once you get in the late 20s, get ahead of the curve.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We heard Arden Key sound off after the game on Sunday about how there are no adjustments being made out there. Well, one Titans coach had a response to that yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Memphis. A 6 o'clock tip-off. Pregame show starting at 5:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Big basketball night. We'll get into some college basketball a little bit later in the program.
Did you watch any of that last night?
No, I did not. I was at another event last night. But I'm glad to discuss college basketball a little bit later in the program with Rex Rod. I know he's teeming with excitement, so we will get into that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, I watched every second of it, of course.
I'm sure you did. I knew you would. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, we heard after the game on Sunday for the Titans, Arden Key sound off, express his frustration with what was going on defensively out there, and basically said, you know, we don't adjust. There's no adjustments going on. He later elaborated, yeah, X's and O's, no adjustments going on out there, which generated a lot of reaction. We discussed that on the show Monday about how that appears to be Arden Key's go-to problem that he discusses. I think he's done it now 3 times when it comes to either lack of adjustments or no corrections being made, whatever phrase you want to use. We've seen this from Arden Key before. Well, Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson was asked about that yesterday, and I thought gave a pretty interesting response. Here's what Denard Wilson had to say on Arden Key's insinuation that the Titans coaching staff not making any adjustments out there.
We adjust all the time. You know, sometimes you look at it in the second half. I mean, what other adjustments do we need? We lost a one-on-one ball in man coverage, and we missed a tackle. And we didn't hinge on cover two. I don't know what else adjustments that we needed. You know, at this point, you know, everybody has an opinion, you know, about everything. You know, everybody needs to stay in their lane and focus on what they need to focus on.
That was Denard Wilson yesterday, Joe. Says everybody needs to stay in their lane, focus on what they need to focus on. Said, I don't know what adjustments you're looking for in the second half. It's a one-on-one man coverage situation that we lost. Can't make any tackles out there. So did not sound like Denard Wilson, a big fan of Arden Key's postgame comments.
Yeah. Well, I will say I'd like to hear the question on that. Like, how was that framed to him? Who was that? Kaharski saying, Arden said, guess what Arden said? You know,
well, I tried to go back and get the actual press conference video audio from the website, but I guess they no longer post the
Titans have mailed it in.
The coordinators,
Titans have they've given up,
yeah,
on that, yeah. So that's but, yeah, he's I don't blame him. I mean, it's you know, the idea that they like what does that even mean? They don't adjust. Like, so you're saying that you're in the exact, I mean, that if you're saying that you don't adjust, you are saying that you are like basically in the exact same defense every play.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be technical about it, you want to be literal about it.
Yeah. No adjustments out there. It's like, wow, they've been in cover two, 15 plays in a row. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, of course, then, you know, Denard Wilson, you know, hits a couple plays where the call wasn't the problem, but I'm sure if he's also, if you want to be totally transparent, I'm sure there were some calls he'd like back, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be like for every game, for every DC or every OC? I mean, so it's, yeah, it's everyone needs the season to end is my takeaway from this.
Well, look, I will be totally honest with you. If anybody else other than Arden Key was talking about this, I'd probably take it a little bit more seriously. But as I mentioned, this is like the third time he's done this. You know, when I think it was the off season or early in training camp after Callahan was first hired. And he's like, you know, that last coaching staff, you just didn't make any corrections. It's like, really? Like Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel were walking around and they just never corrected anything out there? Nothing ever happened?
They're just slapping everybody on the butt and saying, good job.
They're watching film. Like, there's no, yeah, nothing happened. And then later that same year, by the end of the season, when it went as poorly as it did last year for the Titans, at another point in the year, Arden Key was talking about how they don't make any corrections out there. And it's like, well, at some point in the year, this just seems to be Arden Key's go-to of either a coaching staff from years past or the one he's currently playing under. Apparently, don't make good enough adjustments for Arden Key out there. So, if it was anybody else, I'd probably care a little bit more. I find it kind of funny every time Arden Key does it now.
Yeah, exactly. And I would think that like that would be known too by the coaching staff, right? So maybe if it was somebody else, this would be one of these things where it's like, okay, we need to handle this. This is an issue. It's right. Like, oh, Arden.
He's Arden sounding off again. Subscriber to paulkuharsk.com.
Yeah. He might be. He might have a stake in the site, right?
Yeah.
Is he a minority owner, just like Saban is with the Predators?
Maybe so. You know, I mean, we're going to get into a discussion here in a few minutes of, you know, who are veteran players on this team that the Titans could have the opportunity to bring back that fans actually want to bring back. I don't imagine that that's going to be a very long list. Like, I think a lot of Titans fans will want as much roster turnover as possible. You know, there has been the idea floated out there, which I have understood the thought process of it. I really do. Like, because I do think you can make the case this year that the Titans defense at times has performed better than they probably should have based on the talent and who's available to them. Now, you know, that's starting to go the other way the last couple of weeks. Like, they just got shelled by San Francisco. Shedeur Sanders threw for like 360 or whatever it was on him on an offense that's not very good. So I don't know that you can continue to make that argument the way that it's gone the last few weeks out there. It seems to be going the other way. And, you know, when Jeffrey Simmons is not getting to the quarterback, they're having a tough time right now. But, you know, the idea has been floated out there of, you know, this next coach, whenever they hire their next coach, could Denard Wilson stay on as defensive coordinator? And, Joe, I guess I'm not going to sit here and, like, totally dismiss that now. My guess is, depending on who the coach is, like, if you go hire, first off, some defensive guy, they're probably going to want their own people in there.
Yeah. If that's the case, then, yeah, I don't see it.
Right. If it's an offensive guy, then maybe. Like, maybe they look at the job that Denard Wilson has done. The likelihood is, though, like, if you go hire one of these coaches, particularly this coaching cycle, which I think is shaping up to be, you know, a halfway decent coaching cycle out there, you're probably going to have an entirely new coaching staff. That would be my guess.
Right. That coach will probably have his guy. Or you might have, I always think of the McVay situation where when he got that job, he went to Wade Phillips and it was like, you know what? I need a veteran, accomplished, longtime successful head coach of the defense. There you go.
Worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah. So, although I think Denard Wilson, I think he, for people who are paying close attention, I think he's helped himself this year. And I think he's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere else. I think at some point, I think he's going to have a chance to be a head coach in the NFL. This might have to just be whatever they call it, passing game coordinator for a year or two somewhere, and, you know, and yep, maybe a co-DC, something like that. But, yeah, it's possible. If you have an offensive guy who really doesn't have any strong feelings on anybody, that he could be retained. I mean, I guess you could also have the possibility of a a more accomplished DC coming in and seeing if he wants to hang around and be demoted. But that's, yeah, it's probably, yeah, it seems like stuff like that, it's just better to just go somewhere else.
Well, and I think that's the way it's probably going to shake out here. You know, yeah, I mean, you could tell, like, if you watch the video, Kuharsky put out the video of Wilson's answer there on the Key front. I mean, you can tell he's pretty bothered by those comments from Arden Key. And I think you nailed it. Like, I think there's a lot of, boy, let's get this season over with, behind the scenes here with the Titans, which I understand. I mean, they're 2-12, so it has not been a whole lot of fun around there. You know, defensively, I'm really interested to see how this goes the last few games here, because they're just so devoid of talent at corner right now. You know, Winston's going to be out the rest of the year now on IR, so you're not even seeing your young safety get in there and play right now. Just on the back end specifically, they are totally out of it. You know, when you look around the whole defense, Joe, I think it's been a good year from Cedric Gray, right? Like, Cedric Gray has flashed and has shown some things for you. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons has done a good job. And really, much past that, there's not a whole lot to point to on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, well, Jod Ward has been a
– yes.
Has definitely been a revelation, kind of out of nowhere. Yeah, they've had some decent play, and it's not like Amani Hooker – is bad. It's, you know, it's, you sign the extension and you hope for a little bit better season from him. He's still, you know, a guy who is part of the future, you know, so and still is a good player. But yeah, Barton, I think, was a little oversold. Now Gray, I guess Gray in a way has kind of been what Barton was supposed to be, and you'd rather it be Gray now. Yeah. Right, it's your young guy who really he's a rookie, and so you have to be excited about that, but not much else. And of course, the big question, I think, on that side of the ball, other than who the heck is playing corner in the future, big question to me is Tavondre Sweat.
Yep, going to be a big decision that they're going to have to make in terms of what sort of a role is he going to play moving forward. And, you know, how does Borgonzi feel about that right now? I don't know. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch over the offseason. So, I don't think there's a lot that's interesting with the Titans in terms of, like, the veteran guys that are already here that they're going to bring back. Like, I mean, Joe, I guess I would assume that they've been as vocal as they've been on the Jeffrey Simmons front about how important he is. Like, I know he's technically, I guess, got 2 years left on his deal. But my guess is they're probably going to rework that this offseason, right? Like, they made the decision to hang on to him and not trade him at the deadline, and Borgonzi got up there at the podium and basically talked about how Jeffrey Simmons is the model for what they want in this organization moving forward. So my guess is that you're probably going to see them try to work on that this offseason.
Yeah, that's an interesting question for Kuharsky today when he comes in. But I think it makes sense. You don't really want him to be, like, going into a contract year in that first year in the stadium thing. It's an interesting – I guess my question is, what are we talking about here? What kind of term? What kind of money are we talking about? But look, you can't argue with what he's done. If this is, he's stayed healthy. He's been a dominant player this year. And so, if this is what you're getting, and while again, there's still some, like, take him off field goal, please. But, you know, if and the leadership stuff, I think, sometimes maybe gets a little overblown, but still, obviously, he's learned some things there too, right? I feel like he's really just – this has just been a huge year for him in terms of coming into his own. And so, yeah, you've got to have that, I think, now. I mean, if that's what you're going to have and you can effectively put some pieces around him, then I think you got to feel good right now about at least a couple more years of high-level play. It's all about health. But why wouldn't you think that now? And remember, Robbie, going into last year, before we saw him play this year, I know my opinion was more like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This year is just like, how do you not watch him every week and say, yeah, man, I mean, that's just a different player. It's the best he's played.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We would take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, The Game. Today between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us a little bit later in the program. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, Joe is almost all but guaranteed to upset longtime Vols fans, so we will get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. No response from Rex Road. He's just seething, ready for it.
I'm confused.
What are you confused by? You're gonna. It's 7:15. You're going to piss off some Volunteers fans. There's no doubt about it.
I guess that's true. Yeah, you're right.
I know I'm right. It's going to happen.
Well, I won't. I'm not gonna like rant about it, but I do. I'm a little perplexed by this one.
Okay,
a little bit.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Ryan in Florida throwing out there like we need to get Jeffrey Simmons rushing. That was our message after the game on Monday. We got to get Jeffrey Simmons the ball a little bit more out there on offense. Give him a carry.
Like we joke, but I actually would like the way he is running now.
I'm not joking. Goal line.
Like seriously.
We saw with Caden Proctor how scary that looked earlier with Alabama.
Exactly.
That's right. No doubt. And we're talking about a much, much bigger human than Jeffrey Simmons. Now that's college football versus the NFL, but the way he caught that ball, you know, after the scramble drill.
He's athletic.
Because one of the big worries is if you're really talking seriously about big man touchdowns is ball security.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like he's gonna have a vice like grip and everything will be just fine. Give him the ball.
Yep. No, I mean
we saw Big Sweat have a fumble return. Exactly. Couple moves, right?
Good grief. Can you imagine that jumbo package? Sweat at fullback, Simmons at running back.
I mean, the problem is that, you know, Simmons would be running up his back to get in the end zone. You know? It's like, move it, man. I might need to flip it around.
I bet he could get in there and get some nice forward momentum going. Sweat could for one play.
You might have
like,
a
you better
tush
score
push.
On the play.
Yeah, I don't know if you could fit through the hole.
Yeah.
You might have a tush push, though.
Ball forward.
That's right.
Don't kill anyone.
That's right. Joe, I'm looking at this team. And I'm trying to figure out, like, are there any veteran guys that you look at that are not going to be, like, you know, obviously, like, Skoronski, right? Like, they're going to want Skoronski back. So I'm not talking about him in this conversation. But when it comes to, like, you know, making your decision on, you know, a fifth-year option coming up, and you've got all that to figure out, if you're, like, the Skoronski, I think, is played himself into this year. Barring some change in the next year or so, like Skoronski, I think is going to be here for a long time, right? So, yep. You know, I think that's a piece that, you know, it's his third year at this point. I guess at the NFL, by the time you're a third-year player, I guess you're a veteran at that point, right, if you've been playing as much as he has. So I'm not really talking about guys like that in this discussion. But, you know, Arden Key is in there. They don't have a lot of edge rush help right now. You mentioned Jihad Ward a little bit earlier, who has been, I think, revelation may be too strong of a word, but he's played much better than people thought heading into this. Beyond that, like, you know, are there Titans fans that want to keep Tony Pollard? I don't think there are a lot of veteran guys that this group has that Titans fans are going to be overly excited to see back. I don't think there are a lot of veteran guys that they've got that are in that situation that Borgonzi is going to want to keep around. One thing that I do wonder about is, you know, Ridley's obviously hurt. I think you can make the case that they're probably going to move on from him after this year. What are you doing at wide receiver on the veteran front? Because I do think it's important to have one of those guys in there. I mean, you can't, to me, next year, Joe, have a receiving room of DK, Io Manor, and a couple of high draft picks, and that be like your receiving room next year. So I am very curious specifically in that room to see how they handle that.
Yeah, I would agree, because I was just going to say, like, we're almost just dismissing Ridley as a possibility of being on the team. Maybe that's not true. Maybe What is he, does he have 2 years left in his deal? Is that right?
I think he does.
Yeah. So now on the free agent front, well, Mike Evans, you get some of these guys.
Sure, he'd be excited to come here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can say that about anyone, right? It's like, I guess if you really like Cam Ward, Nashville is an asset for you. Nick Saban now owns part of the Predators, by the way.
That's true.
He might be, maybe he'll come to a game. Yeah, you know, Jacoby Myers, McLaurin, you got Devontae Smith out there. I mean, Garrett Wilson. Boy, the Pickens thing is going to be really interesting.
Yes.
Right? Debo, I mean, Juwan Jennings is a guy who, and I understand, I'm a Vol homer, so just remember that later when you get mad at me, Vols fans. But I really don't hate Juwan Jennings as a possibility. So some of these guys, there's some good talent in the free agent pool. You're probably looking more like, I don't know. You're probably looking more like plan B-ish, you know, just someone to be in the room. So Van Jefferson, is he on a 1 year?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yes, he. Yeah. Yep, he's on the list.
I mean, he hasn't been a bad ad. For as much as we always, you know, we complain about all these veteran signings that don't work out, I feel like he's been about what you hoped, hasn't he? He's been fine.
I mean, he's a, you know, right now he's a number 4 or 5 wide receiver in the NFL that's starting every game because of where they're at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, you have to remember that when you're talking about his part of it. But, yeah, like he's, you know, he had a bad drop in the Cleveland game. And, you know, you want him to catch that ball. But, yeah, like he's made some plays for them this year. I guess that depends on what were your expectations for Van Jefferson heading into the year. Because I think if you were realistic and measured, then it's been about what you thought it would be from Van Jefferson.
Yeah, with some of the other guys they've signed, the Tylers recently, you know, not working out at all.
Yeah, probably avoid anybody named Tyler.
Yeah. So what would be bad about, other than you just don't trust that he'll stay healthy, but what would be bad about just sticking with Ridley?
I mean, you know, are you the one concern I have with him is why does it always take him forever to get going? And you thought maybe this year would be the exception to that because of how well it seemed that they connected in training camp, talked about he and Ward, but it took him a while. Like it took him a while again to get going. So why, like, to me, that happens enough with Ridley at this point to think that that's just what it is. Like it's going to be, you know, a month and a half into the season before he really starts to play well. And that would be my biggest hesitation with him.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, between that and then age, health, all that stuff.
You throw a name.
I guess it's okay.
I don't know this. I think this guy is going to be out there based on where the rest of the team that he's on right now, their receiving core is going. What do you think of Romeo Doubs, who I think is going to be available, that has been a good player, not a great player, that I don't think is going to be, like, extremely expensive. Like, he's probably, you know, when he's on, he's probably a decent number two wide receiver. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't hate it.
And market value on the spot track is like 11 mil.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, and I think from his perspective, when we talk about will this player want to come to Tennessee, I think he's the type of player that would look at this situation and say, okay, I can go there and get more opportunity, and then maybe my next bite at the apple is better.
Yeah.
So.
And he's only 25 at the moment. He'll be 26 next year.
Yeah, I think that could make sense on both sides. So, yeah, thank you. You got any other Packers that you'd like to?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, they're going to, I think, re-sign Watson this offseason. They just drafted Matthew Golden. They've got Wicks there. They've got Reed there. Like, I just think he's going to be out after this year. So, like, if you're looking at realistic targets that could be available that could come in and fill that role, like, I think he's going to be on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't – excuse me. I don't hate that one at all. And it's probably something like that. Like, you know, I think that you're just going to have to probably, if you do draft one of these guys high, you're probably just looking at – a fast track to look, you've got to be, you're in the starting lineup right away, and we need a number one wide receiver, and that's what you're going to be in short order. But yeah, a guy like Dobbs is kind of, you know, could sort of like your de facto wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Not that those designations necessarily even matter that much, but it's certainly a starting guy who can make plays right off the jump as whoever you draft maybe takes a little time to get going. And then maybe you have a nice tandem there.
What about this? And, you know, this is going to be an interesting one too. You know, Gunnar Helm playing well right now and excited to see what he turns into. What are you doing with Chig if you're the Titans this offseason? Is he back, or are you trying to upgrade at tight end?
That's a great question. I think he's helped himself. I do. I think that there's something there with him and Cam. So I would lean toward more Chig. Now, I'm not saying you can't upgrade on him. So that's what it's all about. You, who are we talking about? What are we talking about? You know, the thing with the Titans is they do have the cap space. And so in any of these situations, if you have a chance to actually upgrade, they should do it. But I'm not saying just keep him because it's cheaper and easier. I do think that he has taken a step this year.
Yeah, I think he has too. Now, I know a lot of Titans fans will hear that and be like, yeah, we could do better than Chig Okonkwo at tight end, and I understand that. But again, it goes back to how many needs do you think you're going to solve in one offseason? That's what I keep coming back to is we all know they've got a ton of work to do. How much work can you do in one offseason?
Yeah, you're going to have to – yeah, you're just going to have to in some spots be like, okay, this is just going to have to be good enough. And again, if that's good enough with some continuity that could keep building, then that to me adds value to that. To that situation.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Kuharsky will be with us a little bit later in the program. We got some college basketball talk coming up next. The Vols in action. Vanderbilt undefeated in action tonight against Memphis. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.